it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Robert Redford has left us at the age of 89. Certainly worth a conversation, to say the least. The chief film critic for Variety, Peter DeBruges, is kind enough to join us on a day when I'm sure he is extraordinarily busy. So, Peter, thank you so much for giving us some time. Peter's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. There's so many ways I can go with this man's career, which lasted the length it did, not only the volume, but the just tremendous piece of work and, you know, the stretch of movie making, Sundance, when he stepped behind the screen with Ordinary People. Why do you think so many people today are touched by the passing of Robert Redford?
Well, Robert Redford certainly had a rich and varied career. I mean, I think of it as kind of having had three major chapters. He was an actor. He called action. You know, he won an Oscar for his first film as a director for Ordinary People and made several classics. And of course, he was an activist, both for the environment, but for the film industry itself. And I think that one of his most beloved roles is the Sundance Kid in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. He gave that name to the U.S. Film Festival, which launched the independent film revolution. So I think he was kind of key to two moments in which Hollywood was kind of teetering. These days, it seems like the sky's always falling with the film industry. But like, you know, the late 60s, Hollywood was really having this kind of identity crisis, losing eyeballs to television. And, you know, with movies like Bonnie and Clyde and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, the new Hollywood revolution, of which Redford was one of the key faces, you know, kind of gave a whole new, you know, chapter to Hollywood. And then I think come the 80s, we're starting to see, you know, Hollywood stumbling again, studios losing their way again. And it was independent cinema, which is where we suddenly saw, I think, the shift to filmmakers. And by that point, of course, Redford had become one.
That's a great answer. I'm glad you mentioned Ordinary People. Right away, that is a movie that still stays with me. I bet I watch it every 3-4 years. It's pretty amazing that this is his first time directing, and he has this storyline about a family with the loss of a child and how it has affected them so differently, where Mary Tyler Moore is villainous. I mean, she is just vicious, and Donald Sutherland is her husband who doesn't know how to respond to it, and Timothy Hutton is the child that Mary Tyler Moore ostracized and couldn't relate to have that type of success right away as a director is awfully rare.
No question. And I mean, I think there are few actors who've sort of had the success or the intelligence that Redford does. You know, the Clint Eastwood is probably the next example, and he's had a very long career. But I think that Redford was drawn to a different kind of film. And he was drawn to a kind of film that wasn't necessarily the type that he was making as a star. I mean, there were two major kind of Oscar upsets that went in Robert Redford's favor. You know, Ordinary People won Best Picture over Raging Bull, which a lot of people took issue with. But like you, I really appreciate Ordinary People and, you know, prefer it as a film. I think it gets to something true about, you know, the, and relatable about the human condition. And the other, of course, was Out of Africa, which was up against Steven Spielberg's Color Purple. And, you know, that was kind of the last in the movie star chapter of Redford's career. He continued to make movies. He made Legal Eagles right after that, and movies like Sneakers and, you know, lots of stuff that we've loved. Not so long ago, The Old Man and the Gun, yeah. You know, it's kind of like a throwback to his early days. But, you know, there's this kind of transition that happens there in the 80s. And I think we see there are whole generations who I think know Redford as the face of the Sundance Film Festival and the champion of this whole new chapter of filmmaking. And of course, those of us who have a little more wear on our tires remember yeah. him as the movie star he was.
Yeah. On the movie star part, Peter, how, you know, obviously one of the best looking individuals to ever appear in front of a camera, man or woman, how did he deal with that part of it, with the looks that clearly had to open doors, but also when you would see him, you would realize this is more than just eye candy. This is a man who absolutely can immerse himself and bring you into a role and bring you into that movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing, especially now. I think we see more movie stars who are kind of in the Robert Redford vein. I mean, Brad Pitt seems like the obvious kind of successor to that look, the
yep,
kind of California right. golden boy,
and sure.
born on the West Coast, and, you know, kind of that type, as opposed to the more, you know, tortured, neurotic New York, you know, star. But I think that he was really conscious of the idea that he didn't want to be pigeonholed. I mean, of course, his looks could play to his leading man advantage, but I mean, I think he was constantly working against it. Sometimes, you know, I don't know if this is true or apocryphal, but, like, you know, turning down roles, like, you know, not going after The Graduate, you know, the Mike Nichols movie that launched mm-hmm. Dustin Hoffman,
yeah.
you know, because he didn't want to kind of continue on a certain vein. But of course, I mean, we know him as a romantic lead from Barefoot in the Park, from The Way We Were, you know.
Exactly.
I love 3 Days of the Condor, which to me
Great.
Is one of the sexiest films
yeah.
of the 70s.
For
you know?
Sure. Well, another one, and it's not that anonymous, and this is a show that talks a lot of politics, but I think he's just spectacular in The Candidate. I think it's just a great movie, which, by the way, people should continue to watch.
The Candidate, and of course, All the President's Men, which may be the, yeah. the great masterpiece in which he participated, and something that's really shedding the movie star thing. It's a really character part, you know, opposite Dustin Hoffman as Woodward and Bernstein.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, if I have to watch one Robert Redford movie, that's it. And it's a long list. But
yeah.
You know, for
it's
me,
the right choice, and you're right. It's not an easy call because
no.
he's got so many.
Yeah, and it's you know, seeing him with so many brilliant actors in that movie. And so quickly after the Woodward Bernstein book, so quickly after The Country is still ripped apart, and just whether it was on his own or the back and forth with Hoffman or Jason Robards as Ben Bradley is just spectacular. I think sometime tonight, whenever I'm done, I'm going to find All the President's Men and watch it again.
Well, that's a great one. I mean, there's so many people can check out. Jeremiah Johnson's great.
Yeah.
You know, I love Sneakers. I mean, if you have free time tonight, do yourself a favor and watch a Robert Redford movie. I mean,
yes.
He left us so many great ones.
I am someone who certainly enjoys sports, love talking about it, and appreciate sports movies when they are done well. I know you've watched plenty of sports movies. What about Robert Redford and The Natural?
You know, I confess, I've never seen The Natural.
Really?
I know
wow.
it's everybody's favorite, but I don't want to derail this with other sports movies, but like, can any baseball movie be better than Bull Durham? You know, you tell me.
It's very different than Bull Durham.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
They're polar opposites, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the movie. That's the Robert Redford
yeah.
movie I'll pop in tonight.
All right. Why didn't Robert Redford and Paul Newman do another movie together? And how close did they get, you know?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, because The Sting is another one of my favorites of his. You know, it's like it comes off of the Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid energy. The two of them had such chemistry. I don't know the, you know, kind of like inside negotiations or anything, but it's interesting that, you know, they're both leading men, and I think it is kind of known that with Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, there was this whole thing where Paul Newman was the star, and would this beautiful young actor upstage him?
Right. And or could he hold up with him?
Yeah, it worked out well enough that they made another movie together, The Sting, which won Best Picture that year.
Yeah. And also, in reading stories about it over the years, just the great friendship between the two, the practical jokes they played upon each other. It's just, it showed how selective they were about their craft, too. That knowing that the public all wanted to see them together, if they found the right movie, they were going to do it, but it just didn't pop up. Last thing, and I'll let you go, Peter. You talked about, you know, when he backed away, and clearly, I mean, enormously involved in the environment, politically active. It's not like he stopped making movies, you know, when you got to the 90s and aughts, but it dropped off. Did he feel like that's just a part of his life he did not want to continue to do because he was so busy in other areas? Or did he talk about just the quality of roles were not there?
I don't think it was about the quality of roles. I think, you know, he obviously believed in the future of cinema and was helping kind of pave that way with Sundance. What I think we saw is him being very selective about the kind of movies he would do. And it's interesting that in the very last, you know, in the 20-teens, you know, he was making movies with Sundance directors. Like, you know, he made All Is Lost, which is basically a one-man show with J.C. Chandor, who'd kind of come out of the Sundance world and worked with David Lowery on a couple films. That's, you know, the director of Old Man and the Gun, who done Ain't Them Bobby Saints. I think what had happened is he had effectively retired from acting, but he kind of, you know, would get pulled in for that one last job if there was a real talent he had kind of connected with through the Sundance Film Festival and who had a role that was really deserving. But we see this with, like, you know, Gene Hackman retired and stepped away from acting. I mean, I feel like it's something people are allowed to do, yeah, even if it's, you know, it deprives us of more work.
Yeah. I'm thinking of me here, Peter. I want more great movies. You are excellent. I hope we can reach out again. And thank you so much for coming on and talking about Robert Redford.
Happy to do it. Thank you.
Peter DeBruge from Variety. He's their chief film critic.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.